Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, August 1st, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. A lawyer representing over 700 families at a farm owned by First Lady Grace Mugabe says there is no peaceful coexistence between animals and people at Manzou Farm.
Our clients have complained that the animals are destroying their crops. We wrote to them to make sure that there is a proper compliance with the court order.
An 82-year-old Chinoy woman takes care of senior Zimbabwean citizens.
I'm really expecting a tremendous life for these people as long as I'm still alive. They come through social services and police.
And delegates attending the 2015 Mennonite World Conference in USA say they will implement some of the issues they derived from the event.
The people here in America, with their health, they are able to share with their own family members. And also, as a people, we need to come together. And we have a fund as a church. That fund, they will try to invest it.
These stories and much, much more coming up. A lawyer representing over 700 families at a farm owned by First Lady Grace Mugabe says there is no peaceful coexistence between animals and people at Manzou Farm as per a court ruling issued recently by Zimbabwe's High Court. Attorney Tondirai Patasara, a member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, says the families are living in fear of the animals that were brought to the farm by the First Lady, who wants to convert it into a wildlife sanctuary. But Tassara tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the Department of Wildlife Management is not complying with the High Court order compelling them to protect the villagers who were settled before the over 100 zebras and other animals were dumped onto the farm.
The latest Blessing, you recall that the last time we got an order by consent which compelled the National Parks and Wildlife Management Authority to make sure that there's peaceful coexistence between our clients and the animals that they had brought onto this farm. And our expectation was that they were going to do that by fencing off the area so that the animals are on one side and the people on the other, so that they don't destroy their crops or to harm or injure them. But they have not done that. And our clients have complained that the animals are destroying their crops. We wrote to them to make sure that there is a proper compliance with the court order. They wrote back and they are raising some technical arguments that there is no obligation on their part to put up a fence because that is not what was ordered by the court. But in our view, we think that they have to put that fence in order for them to fully comply with the court order.
Any prospects that you'll be going back to the court anytime soon?
It's likely, Jason, that we might end up going back to court under contempt proceedings because in our view, these respondents, they are contemptuous of the court order. They are failing to comply with what was ordered.
That was Attorney Tondirai Patasara, a member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
82-year-old Chinoy woman Florence Ndlovu, popularly known as Ambuya Howard in Mashonaland West Province, has been taking care of senior citizens since 1984. Today, Hechengedai Old People's Home, situated in the heart of Chinoy's old suburb, Wunyani, is home to 28 elderly people. Our correspondent, Arthur Chikoriwa, chats with Ambuya Howard about her Christian beliefs and humanitarian work.
I was just from work at Chinoy. I saw someone who was discharged at Chinoy Hospital, dead by the gate of Chidarikiri's shop. I said to Mrs. Chidarikiri, "My Chidarikiri, look at this one, he's dead." She says, "No, he's been speaking to me." I said, "No, I saw him this morning. He asked me whether Petro could buy him bread. So I didn't have money. I had to ask someone, may I have half of bread and I'll give you money on my way back from work." But later, 5 o'clock, when I was coming back, I found the person was dead. Later, when I was at the house, the very night, I dreamed of Corinthians 1st, chapter 13. The first word which touched my heart, it was, though you can call God, God, if you have no love, he has nothing. So I thought, maybe, why did I see someone dead when he was in the hospital during my presence? But he didn't die at the hospital. Why did he die at the terminus alone? Why? So it was just a question to me. I slept the following morning, I asked Mrs. Marumaoko, my best friend. She says, oh, there must be something that God needs from you. So I thought maybe I'm the one who is being called for these people, as Isaiah 14 says. I went to see Mr. Mtemararo, a pastor of Anglican Church. I went to see Mr. Chiesa, who was just in the elder of United Methodist Church. I went to see Mr. Captain Chippy, Salvation Army, and as well as Mr. Chupotereke. I said, this is what I've dreamed, and this is what I want you people to help me, because I can look for food for these people who are staying by the terminus opposite the Anglican Church. And then Mr. Chupotereke said, yes, it's all right. I can give blankets. And Mr. Chupotereke came with 11 blankets. Samuel came with 11 blankets.
And what are you expecting now?
I'm really expecting a tremendous life for these people, as long as I'm still alive.
Most of them, where do they come from?
Malawi, Mozambique, Zambia, South Africa. They come through social services and police.
What really motivated you to look after those people?
I thought really this is how our people could be seen, that we have taken our country with the reason we wanted to keep one another. I needed to encourage the pastors of churches, especially youngsters. Some of them are not interested. They only want the money from people. They don't want to look after homeless.
That was Chinoy woman Florence Ndlovu speaking with our correspondent Arthur Chikoriwa in Mashonaland West Province. It's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to our program, Mrs. Edna Ndebele Mpagula.
Thank you.
You are a fashion designer. How did you start thinking of becoming a fashion designer?
I've always wanted to be a fashion designer. I always had the passion from the time when I was very young. Me growing up with that passion, eventually I decided it was a career path that I would take. So I did go ahead and enroll into a college in Zimbabwe called Daniko Institute of Technology in Zimbabwe. So I did a four-year program with them. And after that, that's when I just started designing. In 2010, I came here to the United States, started off my showcasing my clothes at the Africa Fashion Week. And ever since then, I've just been going on showcasing a different fashion weeks, doing personalized clothing for my customers. So yeah, that's how I started. It has always been something that I always enjoyed doing, and eventually I decided I'll take it, I'll follow that career path.
How old were you by then, and how did your parents accept the fact that their daughter is becoming a fashion designer?
I think I was about 16, 17 years when I decided that's what I wanted to do. And I remember having a conversation with my dad, telling him that this is what I wanted. I mean, every parent, especially when it's in Zimbabwe, careers like fashion designing or acting or things like that are not yet fully recognized. It was not something very easy for my parents to understand. I mean, every parent's dream that their children become doctors or accountants, or, you know, the normal careers that our parents from home want. It took a lot of talking to him. And the first time when I went to college and I did my first showcase competition that I won, that's when he began to really understand what the whole industry was all about. So it's something that they really didn't want me to do because they didn't understand the industry, but now they do understand.
You are married and you have a family?
Yes, I am married and I have two children.
what showcases or functions that you have attended and any competitions that you've won?
I have attended the Africa Fashion Week in New York. I also did the Virgin Islands Fashion Week, where I entered the eco-friendly design competition that was held there in the Virgin Islands. I did win that competition. My garment was voted the best. And then after that, I did the Louis Vuitton Waterfront Fashion Week. They were looking for emerging designers to be part of the competition, and I won that. During that whole fashion week, I scooped two awards, the best emerging designer, and I also won the People's Choice Award. Yeah, so far those are the competitions that I've done, and I was a runner-up in Zimbabwe for the Kotko Fashion Showcase when we were still in Zimbabwe. And then currently I have quite a number of showcases that are lined up from now all the way through to December.
What type of dresses do you design?
I design women's ready-to-wear. And then sometimes I just design the wild type of dresses that are just for entertainment on the runway, something that people wouldn't really be seen walking around on the streets. Dresses where I just showcase my creativity. But mainly I do women's ready-to-wear. I'm trying to kind of get into men's as well here and there, but my strength is on the woman's side.
Which material do you use?
I am very flexible. I always try to incorporate my culture within my designs. I try to incorporate either the print or some inspiration either drawn from my culture. So I'm not really limited to any fabric.
Do you see yourself expanding, developing from where you started off up to now?
Yes, I do see myself developing, and I see myself still developing even from where I am now to the future. I see I am positive that great things are on the way. It's not an easy road. There are obstacles that have come along the way from the time I started till now, but it has been growth all the way.
Any word of encouragement to those Zimbabwean girls who are thinking of venturing into the same career?
I just want to tell them that it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of explanation and a lot of, you know, education to the parents that this is an industry that is growing, especially in Zimbabwe. Once you pass that hurdle, then there's a lot of hard work that you need to put in. There's a lot of effort that you need to put in. You're going to get so many discouragements. You're going to get so many clients that are going to try and bring you down. It's a really difficult industry, but you have to go in it. Once you have decided that this is what you want, you have to get in there with self-determination. You have to be confident. You have to know that this is what you want, and you have to put all your effort to it. Giving up will not be something that I would encourage anybody, no matter how many setbacks they face. It's a matter of just going on and going on and going on till you get to where you want to be.
You've been listening to the Women's Forum. I'm Praxedes Jeremiah, standing in for Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to human rights organizations and Chinese activists, in recent weeks, Chinese authorities have systematically detained, arrested, subjected to forced disappearance, held incommunicado, or questioned and released 169 lawyers, legal staff, and activists involved in peacefully challenging official policies in China. Chinese authorities detained lawyers from several law firms, including six from the Beijing Feng Rei firm. The Feng Rei law firm handled a number of high-profile human rights cases, including the case of jailed Uyghur scholar Ilham Tohati. The crackdown began on July 9th when Feng Rei lawyer Wang Yu disappeared after alerting friends via a text message that her internet connection and electricity had been cut off and that people were trying to break into her home. Wang had represented several clients involved in human rights activism or religious freedom issues, including practitioners of Falun Gong, a religious group banned in China. The firm's director Zhu Shifeng was also detained. He had represented Zhang Miao, a Chinese journalist who'd reported on the Hong Kong democracy protests. Among those who have not been heard from since being detained is well-known lawyer Lu Heping. He represented fellow lawyer and blind activist Chen Guangcheng and helped victims of forced evictions. The United States is deeply concerned that the broad scope of China's new national security law is being used as a legal facade to commit human rights abuses. The U.S. strongly urges China to respect the rights of all its citizens and to release all those who have recently been detained for seeking to protect the rights of Chinese citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The 2015 Mennonite World Conference, convened in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, USA, has come and gone, with some delegates saying they will implement some of the issues that derived from the event. One of them is Pastor Hlanganani Dube of the Brethren in Christ Church, who says he visited a local orphanage catering for the needs of various children. He speaks to Studio 7 about this and related issues.
For me, just to be in America, without talking about the conference itself, really, it was an eye-opener to learn how other brethren in America are doing their things, especially the way how they fellowship. And secondly, what really caught my heart was about the issue of how they care about orphans. I had the privilege to visit some pastors who are into orphans ministry and also the prison ministry. The way how they do it really touched me, because retired people are able to donate to the orphans, and even those people who are less privileged, they are able to donate to the orphans.
Tell us something that you actually think that you got from your experience as a person who saw an orphanage. What can you derive from that which can be used back home?
Actually, what I think we need to do as Zimbabweans is to really to look into ourselves as a people and say, what do we have? Number one, I think we have the human resources. We, as a people, we need to take care of our own orphans, and we need to encourage even our congregants that they need to take care of the orphans, especially their immediate family members. You may find out that some of the church members, they are not able even to take care of their own family orphans. They are busy running around asking for help. But I think from what I've learned here, I've realized that the people here in America, with little which they have, they are able to share with their own family members, number one. And also, what I learned is that as a people, we need to come together and try to put the little which we have. We have a fund as a church. That fund, maybe we try to invest it. Of course, investment in Zimbabwe is a bit of a challenge, but I think if we try to have a fund that will rotate, maybe we give to orphans, especially those who are at school, try to pay their fees. And maybe if they happen to pass at school and they go to universities, eventually they go to work, they may also be able to donate in return, so that this fund may continue to support other orphans.
Hmm. What else did you learn, Pastor Dube?
The other thing which I learned is back home in Zimbabwe, it seems that we are stuck in the issue of tribalism, regionalism, and even racism, so to say. But what I learned here in this conference is that people are able to fellowship together, socialize, some from North America, Africa, Canada, all over the world. People are able to sit down, have a meal, sing together. People really value each other, and I think that is a good thing to take home and to teach other people.
That was Pastor Hlanganani Dube of the Brethren in Christ Church, speaking with Studio 7 from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in USA. The 16th Mennonite World Conference was attended by hundreds of people, including 200 Zimbabweans. And now to recap today's top stories. A lawyer representing over 700 families at a farm owned by First Lady Grace Mugabe says there is no peaceful coexistence between animals and people at Manzou Farm. And delegates who attended the 2015 Mennonite World Conference in USA say they will implement some of the issues that derived from the event. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.